Maybe you've never heard the term funding cliff, but I guarantee your state senator knows it very well. Sometime in the next year, the extra federal funds that padded state budgets during the recession are going to run out. But tax revenues haven't rebounded yet. So state budgets are teetering on the edge of a cliff, you might say. In some cases, they're falling over. And lately, states have been making deep cuts in order to balance their budgets. But sometimes you can cut too deep. So deep that you're no longer providing the basic services that are guaranteed in the Constitution. That brings us to the state of Washington. A judge there found that the state was violating its constitution by not providing an ample education for all students. He's ordered the state legislature to fix it. Tom Ahern joins us now. He's the lead attorney in the case. Tom, what did the judge's ruling find?
Well, the judge's ruling is based on Washington's constitution, and each state has a different education provision in their constitution, and ours says it's the paramount duty of the state to make ample provision for the education of all children residing within our borders. And the judge, after a trial that lasted from August through almost the end of October, found that the state simply was not doing that. The amount of funding the state was providing was grossly insufficient.
Let's go down to Daniel Thatcher. He's the education finance specialist for the National Conference of State Legislatures. Daniel, we have heard of these kind of lawsuits for years now, decades now, but there are certainly a number of them pending, and people are saying they might actually be successful now. Why is that?
Well, that's right. There's about 9 cases pending across the country right now. The success, I'm not sure about. I think it's too early to tell. What the success will be on these. There's 2 things at play here. There's traditional adequacy lawsuits, which is going on in Washington. And then there's other lawsuits, like there was one in Kansas, where they're actually challenging the funding of education because of the recession.
Well, a lot of people are talking about this funding cliff that I mentioned earlier. And Tom, let me ask you, people are saying that the funding cliff is the federal government funds, the extra funds, running out, state budget have not recovered in terms of income coming in faster, and therefore a lot of states are kind of teetering on the edge of not providing basic services like education, like policing and public safety. Tom?
I agree with what you're saying. I'm wondering what the question is. I'm sorry.
Well, the question is, at what point does a state's constitution require that they not cut the budget too far?
And that's exactly what the issue is going to come to a head here on. And there are times when the Constitution says you have to stop, underspending. And we see that, for example, in take something like prison suits, when folks sue saying there's cruel and unusual punishment because your prisons are too small and you have too many people stuffed into a cell. Eventually, the courts say, enough is enough is enough. You have to actually comply with your Constitution. And at least in the state of Washington, the court has made it very clear that their number one duty is to fully fund education before everything else.
Maybe that's the issue, though. Daniel Thatcher, let me get a comment from you, and we'll go back to Tom on this maybe
sure.
If we have time. Is this an argument, all taken together, looking at all the states, and they're all in different predicaments, for a complete rethinking of the strategy for funding education in the United States? It's been a state duty, property tax, then a lot of these lotteries have been funding education. But I'm wondering, especially if you see Barack Obama getting heavily into the mix with the stimulus program, that we're really looking at a federalized educational system in the United States 20 years from now.
Well, sure. They say never waste a crisis. And this could be a good time for states to rethink how they fund public education. Now, how they fund public education is different from how much they fund education. And, well, yes, the federal role in education is going to increase, and we're looking at perhaps an increase of 16% of total education revenues will come from the federal government by the time the federal stimulus dollars run out. And that's a huge increase. Typically, we run 8 to 9% of all revenues for education. It runs into 8 to 9%. So whether or not the federal government will continue this role after the stimulus, I don't know if we can say that quite yet.
This is kind of the classic rock and hard place situation, though. What were you saying there, Tom?
Well, I was just going to say, if I can jump in for a second, coming from the other Washington, I frankly don't want folks in Washington, D.C. governing the way my state's education system is run. Because one thing I learned very clearly, for example, in this lawsuit over the last 3 years we've been litigating this, is that people at the local level really do know how to do things best and really do know what their kids need, what their students need, how to make their schools work. So although like most people, I'm sure I'd like to have money from wherever it comes from, I think it's a mistake to set education policy in the other Washington.
That's Tom Ahern, the lead attorney for the plaintiffs in this education funding lawsuit in Washington State. Daniel Thatcher of the National Conference of State Legislatures. We've been seeing state budget cuts on not just education, but on things, as I was saying, but police, roads, and in a certain extent, the states are stuck. They don't have a lot of money. But I'm wondering if there are other areas in which perhaps they're vulnerable to constitutional challenges.
Are you asking me? This is Dan.
Yes.
Well, there's three things really at play here. There is a decline in state revenues like we have not seen for a long time. There's a drying up of the stimulus funds, which after fiscal year 11-12 will no longer be around. And one thing that we've had in the past recession is that local governments were able to step up and help fund education through levying higher property taxes. But this time around, with the deflated housing values, which lead to decreased valuations of homes, which in turn lead to lower property tax revenues. The local governments aren't going to be able to step up like they have in the past. So that's adding to this cliff. And whether or not state courts will look at how much a state is funding education in this whole context and say, you have to spend at this level, even though there's no revenues, either from the local governments, state governments, or federal governments. Again, I don't know. How willing courts are going to be to say to states, you have to fund this education at this level, even though revenues aren't there.
Yeah, that would kind of be a judge's ruling for an unfunded mandate, I guess. That's Daniel Thatcher, education finance specialist for the National Conference of State Legislators. Thanks to both of you. Coming up, we're going to talk about the history of Black History Month and some people debating its future. It's in a moment.